Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be pleasing unto you, our rock. Amen. You may be seated. Our Lord Jesus hangs on a cross. Jesus, who invites me to sit at his feet, the one who points at me, who calls me to come to him and learn from him and follow him, he hangs on a cross. Jesus, who knows me better than I know myself, who formed me in my mother's womb, on whom I was cast since my birth. He knows my thoughts before I speak them. Jesus, my friend, he knows what I desire. He knows what will bring me pain. He sees me on my deathbed. He hangs on a cross. Jesus, who forgives me, he knows my pride, he knows my envy, he knows how I get impatient when I'm standing in line at the grocery store and wish everyone would just hurry up. He knows when I get angry. I hide that well from everybody else, but he knows my anger. And he forgives me. He hangs on a cross. Jesus, who spent his entire ministry loving people. Do you remember a few weeks ago we read the story of the son who goes and squanders his father's wealth, and the father runs to him and embraces him and forgives him and throws him a fantastic party? Or do you remember the story of the leper who comes to Jesus and falls before him and says, "Please." And Jesus says, "Yes, I will heal you." Or the widow who had already lost her son, had already lost her father, and watched her, who had already lost her husband, and watched her son die. And Jesus comes, and as they're carrying this body out to the graveyard, he looks and says, "Young man, arise." This beautiful man, Jesus, hangs on a cross. Do you remember a few weeks ago, our friend David spoke to us about how this Jesus has awakened his heart, met him in love and not just in his mind? Do you remember when you've sat quietly in prayer and he's met you and he's cherished you and his spirit prayed through your spirit and drew you close to our Father in heaven? This Jesus hangs on a cross. Jesus with God from the beginning. Jesus through whom everything was made. Without Jesus, nothing would be. Nothing would exist. Nothing in heaven or on earth. Everything holds together in him. He is the center, the fullness of God. This beautiful man hangs on a cross. This is not where I want him to be. The cross is foolishness. The cross is pain far beyond what I understand pain to be. The cross is death. This entire narrative we just read through, I don't want to read it. Sweat like drops of blood. Judas kissing Jesus on the cheek. Peter stepping further and further away. I don't want to read this. The mocking, the shouting, the torture, the cross. He is poured out like water. All his bones are out of joint. His heart is like wax. It is melted within his breast. His strength is dried up like a potsherd. His tongue sticks to his jaw. He is laid in the dust of death. Not him. Not this one who has called me, who knows me, who cherishes me, who forgives me. Not this one who holds the whole world together. So where do I want him? I want him sitting regal on that donkey. It's funny. He spent his whole life, or the last 3 years of his life, walking everywhere he went. But then he decides, for this last mile into Jerusalem, he's going to summon a donkey and sit on the back of a donkey. He knows what the prophet Zechariah foretold. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humbled and mounted on a donkey. And his disciples knew this well, right? They shout, Hosanna! Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. The king riding home. The king entering his kingdom. This is where I want him to be. Not showered with insults. Not falling under a cross. But lifted up. There's this wonderful exchange at the end of the triumphal entry passage we read this morning. The Pharisees are not pleased with the praises and the palm branches. And so they say to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. And Jesus answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. Whether Jesus is king is not a matter of opinion. Neither mine, nor yours, nor the politicians, or the academics, or the Pharisees. It's true. It's central to the very nature of the world. It's a fundamental truth of the cosmos. It's written in the stones. That Jesus is king. For the first time in his public ministry, he rides on the donkey. He's where he should be. And this is where I want him to be. Riding triumphantly into Jerusalem. But it's on the cross that his face like flint, has been set since the beginning. And yet I don't want this. John Donne, 17th century Anglican poet, wrote a poem called The Cross, and Father Joe has kindly copied a piece of it in your bulletin, so you can follow along. I'm going to read just the beginning of it. Since Christ embraced the cross itself, dare I his image, the image of his cross, deny? Would I have profit the sacrifice and dare the chosen altar to despise? It bore all other sins, but is it fit that it should bear the sin of scorning it? Who from this picture would avert his eye? How would he fly his pains? Who there did die? Who am I to desire the profit of the cross, but not want that chosen way? Who am I to despise, to scorn, even to look away? He did not fly his pain. We must reckon with this. Our beloved, our Lord, our God hangs on a cross. Maybe instead of denying the cross, we can just keep it tucked nicely away in the world of theology. We can see it as this mechanism of divine human reconciliation. Good, we need that, right? We can draw it on a napkin over a gulf between God and man, and it helps us make sense of the world on this metaphysical level. But do we dull the reality of the cross when we leave it in the abstract, when it's just part of a system, an equation, when we see it as just a transaction? The words given to us in Isaiah this morning, don't dull this reality. There are words given some 600 to 700 years before Jesus, yet they see the picture so well. And this abstract theological mechanism is brought haltingly before us in the shape of a person. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. As one from whom men hid their faces, he, a person, a man, the one we've come to love. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. The theology is there. This incredible mechanism is there. Peace with God. Atonement. But so is this man. This wounded, pierced, crushed man. Christ's passion. We began in a very different place this morning. And so quickly, here we are, and Christ's suffering is placed before us. Look not away. See Christ on the cross. And remember, realize again, that this is the moment that the life of the world hangs. More so, this is the moment that gives your life meaning, that gives you hope. If you've ever had a sense of gratitude, thankfulness for anything, it's on this moment that it all depends. Christ on the cross reveals to us the very thing we've spent our whole lives looking for. Love. This is foolish love. It's not love as our world understands it, or as I am prone to want to see it. It's not love that fills me up and then, sure, there's a little bit for me to share. It's not love that is driven by some sense of self-actualization or self-fulfillment. It's not love marked by some power I might have over someone else. It's not love given only to the members of one's tribe. This love on this cross empties itself, takes the form of a servant. This love is humble and obedient to the point of death. This love says, I give myself wholly to you so that you might know my Father, so that you might know me. This cross is the heart of God's love for us. Most of us have sung, we did a few weeks ago, this wonderful hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Now, it's curious, there's a verse that Isaac Watts wrote that's often left out of hymnals, and I don't think it's in our hymnal either. But I discovered it this week, and I want to share it with you. So verse 3, which we know well, goes, see from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown. And then there's verse 4, which we usually don't sing. His dying crimson, like a robe, spreads o'er his body on the tree. Then I am dead to all the globe, and all the globe is dead to me. Then I am dead to all the globe, and all the globe is dead to me. Isaac Watts stands before this cross, and he is dead to the world, and the world is dead to him, because nothing else matters. As Isaac Watts stands before the cross, he sees Jesus poured out in love, and he can then know life. Don't look away. Don't avert your eye. This is the center, the cross. This is the place where we are strangely and wonderfully wooed. This is the place where we see the fullness of God's love. This week, meditate on our Lord's Passion. Come to church on Thursday and on Friday. Come and see what this love looks like. Come next Sunday. Love so amazing, so divine. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.